Welcome to another pre-Halloween show for the Halloween podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Perez, and I am getting excited. October is no more than 2 days away, so that means the Halloween podcast is going to be in full swing very soon. I think this Sunday, as of this recording. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a lot of guests coming on. We're going to talk Halloween. We're going to talk candy. We're going to talk costumes. Some sitcoms, movies, and for this pre-Halloween show, I'm going to give you another oldie but a goodie. I think it's from Thursday Theme Song, when me and April were doing that show on Thursdays, and we talked about Goosebumps. If you remember Goosebumps from back in the 90s, we talked about the books, we talked about the TV show, all that good stuff. We shared some memories, a lot of Halloween goodness. So it seems fitting to do another pre-Halloween show with Goosebumps in mind. So let's get this show started, and I'll see you again when it's over.
Welcome to Thursday Theme Song. This is another spooky episode. Spooky, kooky, and I'm sorry, that was too weird.
You scare
April,
me.
Or Zombie Farmer, and this guy over here is my buddy Lyle. Lyle, yes. Say hi.
Lyle, say hi.
I like that. That was funny.
Yep. So yeah,
hey,
another.
Everybody say hi with Lyle.
Another Halloween episode. Here we go. What do you think we should do today?
I'm thinking we should do
something
this
spooky.
One. Do you remember this one? Goodness, yes, I definitely remember that. That is Goosebumps. I saw the first episode. I read tons of books. R.L. Stein, I love you. 10-year-old me, yeah. Right now is rejoicing inside of my body. It came out when I was 15, so I wasn't as young, but I was a big dork for, like, horror-themed things, and I was not into reading when I was pretty young. My cousins were. I was like, whatever, I got some TV, I got some toys here, books, whatever. But R.L. Stein's Goosebumps series was really what got me to change my mind about reading. There was one other book, I can't remember it very well. It was something about, like, a green kangaroo that I really enjoyed. I don't remember it anymore, but I remember Goosebumps to this day. I remember I could ask for anything, And it would be like, no, you don't need that. If I asked for a book I learned, I'd get it. Nice. So that was another thing that made it really fun. If I could ask for an ice cream cone, I don't know if I was going to get it. But if I asked for a book, it was guaranteed I would get that book. So that was pretty cool. And then it became a really fun way to entertain myself once I got better at it. Because I was not good when I first got into this series. So thank you, R.L. Stein, making me illiterate. Not illiterate, but literate. I read every one of them, sometimes more than once. My cousins and I would all get the same ones. My grandma was so sweet. She, to no exception, would write a message to us in the front of each book every single time. So sweet. And I mean, like, mine didn't say the same thing as Jamie's. Jamie's didn't say the same thing as Jeff's. She wrote a different message in each and every single one of those, which, of course, made them more precious.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. At least you were able to read them.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I had a learning disability,
mm-hmm.
where I couldn't read, I couldn't write. I could read, I could write, I could read, you know, words like cat, dog, you know, sight words.
Mm-hmm.
But reading a book, I couldn't do. Writing a story, I couldn't do. Until I was about 8th grade.
Wow.
How I managed to go from kindergarten all the way to 8th grade without being able to read and write my grade level. I think I was always about 4 grade levels behind.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've grown out of my disability. I read, you know, 1,000-page novels. I write novels. I write kids' books. So on. I've edited a bunch of stuff. So I've come a long way since then. And some of the first books that I remember reading or wanting to read were the Goosebumps books.
That's so cool.
Mostly it was the covers. The covers were pretty cool.
Yes. They were embossed, which I thought was really fun. I liked to feel them.
Yeah, there were two cover artists. One of them was Tim Jacobus, if I pronounced that correctly. And the other one was Brandon Dorman, if I could pronounce that correctly. See, names even with my disability, it still happens sometimes with names.
I don't know if that's necessarily even a learning disability, although I have one as well, so I'm not sure. But names are weird.
Yeah, I don't
even seem to fit logic sometimes.
Yeah, I understand that quite well.
Mm-hmm. I remember also thinking that, you know, as I got older, because I was already, you know, 15 when this started, and I mean, I'm young at heart, so I'm sure that kind of like prolonged how long I was into this stuff. But I did remember thinking, these names are a little stupid, but I don't care. I like the stories. But after reading so many of them for so long, they kind of, in a little bit of a way, reminded me of Mad Libs. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah. I loved Mad Libs.
So the way that I mean that is when you would read enough of his books, especially enough of them in a row, you would start to read the same phrase use over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
to the point where you almost felt like he had a copy and paste of certain phrases so he could save on typing.
I don't know if it was that more than him.
It's just his writing style, or like
writing style, yeah.
Or like the way I say things is the way that I say things, and I probably say them the same way every time I refer to something.
Yeah, a lot of his stories started off the same way. It started off the way a lot of CW shows start, where it says, "My name is whatever." It happens on The Flash. It happens on Arrow. It happens on Supergirl. They always start with "my name is," and then whatever their name is.
Which Goosebumps is kind of cool. After a while, you can think of it more, instead of like a cheating tool or a template, but think of it more like a stylization.
Mm-hmm.
But I was young enough where I didn't think of stylization more than I felt like, I'm bored with this sentence. Stop using it, please.
Yeah.
But it was really only between that and then the dorky names. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing I complained about. He continued the series, the book, the TV series went from 1995 to 1998. So I know the books came out obviously before then. I don't actually have facts on the books, which would have been smart. But I know that they went well past the age I was reading them, that I should have been embarrassed that I was reading them. So I would hide them behind things so people didn't know that's what I was reading.
Oh, wow.
I had a book inside of a bigger book, so nobody knew that I was reading an R.L. Stine book.
Yeah.
And then I can't recall the name of the series. I was trying to find it online, but he wrote a lot of things. Like, I swear, I don't think this guy did anything else in his life but write, because he's got so many titles under his name. And yeah. I can't remember the other series that he wrote, but those weren't so little kid looking that I could read them and then not be embarrassed. And it was like the first thing that I started reading that felt like a real big kid book, I guess you could say, because they were like regular sized books that with a lot of pages at what it seemed like to me. So I felt like I was always behind with my reading. So I felt like reading the other versions of his books that I was finally progressing to where I was supposed to be in my reading skill level finally. Yeah. So thanks again for making me feel smarter, Mr. Stine.
Was it Fear Street?
I want to say so, but I don't know for sure. I want to say Cheerleaders, but I can't see myself ever at any time in my life accepting that would be a cover of a book I would put my hands on. Because mm-hmm. See, another thing about me, I was very anti-girly when I was young. I was very anti-everything girl. I hated everything pink. I hated everything pretty. I was tomboy while not wanting to touch icky things, except for I not as much as when I was younger. Like, I used to swim in the mud puddles and stuff mm-hmm. that I made myself. So like, yeah, so I can't see myself willing to touch or be in a room with a book with Cheerleader on the cover unless the cheerleader was like scary looking or something. So I can't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. So at the same time, thank you, Mr. Stine.
Yes, thank you for giving me many hours of enjoyment in my adult life, because that's when I read most of the books. I didn't read them as a kid. And I loved the books. I loved getting them in the Scholastic, you know, magazine that we'd always get in school. My daughter still gets those. I looked through them. My number one goal with writing kids' books, because I also wrote my own kind of series, I guess you can say, of Goosebump-like stories. And I actually tweeted at R.L. Stine a long time ago. I forgot what I told him. I told him something. He tweeted me back, and then I told him, yeah, hey, I wrote a couple of books. One of them's called Hand Puppet Horror. The Goosebump books really inspired me. And he tweeted back something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was along the lines of, hey, you're welcome. Good luck with your books. And I said, thank you. And then that was the extent of our conversation.
Still possibly one of the coolest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, but I mean, it inspired me to continue writing. But the publishing world for young adult, or for, you know, young kid stuff, like trying to get into Scholastic, I've come to the conclusion that that's never going to happen. Another thing that happened to me that really inspired me was when I met James Rollins, who is my all-time favorite thriller writer. I met him at a book signing, and it was around the time where I was only writing short stories. I didn't really consider myself an author. I still don't consider myself an author. I consider myself a storyteller, a writer. I don't like it when I have to refer to myself as an author, because I don't feel that's what I am.
He's very good.
Oh, thank you. But he said, because I didn't even mention to him that I was a writer, as you know, not to his extent, but you know, I write short stories. I've had a couple of them published here and there. It was one of the people that ran the books. They knew who I was, and they knew that I had books, and he brought out the books and showed it to James Rollins and said, yeah, he's an author too.
And I told him, I don't consider myself an author. I just write short stories. And he said, I don't remember exactly what it was. I have it recorded somewhere. But he said that I am, in fact, an author, and I need to call myself an author. And I called myself an author for a while after that. And then I just went back to, I'm just a dude who likes to write and tell stories.
I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
What was your first Goosebumps book?
My first Goosebump book, it was probably Welcome to Dead House.
Mine was Werewolf of Fever Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was so strong in my memory, I thought it was the first one. But according to this website, it's the first, the Welcome to Dead House is the first one.
Yeah, that's, I started, when I was reading them in my adult life, I started from number one, and I went right down the line.
So my younger cousins, who were, of course, always super advanced beyond my skill levels, were the ones who were reading the Goosebumps series, and I'm pretty sure it was probably Jamie who requested this for Christmas. So she requested it, therefore we all got a copy, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with it? Hey, there's a werewolf on it.
Nice.
Like, whatever happened
to the disability?
I was into classic horror monsters. Couldn't get me away from him. Classic Dracula, classic Wolfman, any of that stuff, I was in it. I was in it. I mean, I checked out tons of books from the library. Did I read them? No, but I looked at all the pictures and then got bored. But I looked at all the pictures and thought the pictures were super cool.
Nice.
Because I just didn't want to read them because I couldn't read very good. But I got Werewolf of Fever Swamp and I was like, there's a werewolf in it. And I looked into the book and I was thinking, well, the print is really big. So that's kind of good because if that wasn't enough fun, I also have horrific eyesight.
So do I. Join the club.
So I didn't get glasses until I bought them myself. So having the large print was pretty nice. And I also thought, ooh, it'll look like I read it really fast too. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. I got hooked. And then I had to go back and start from the beginning and work my way forward.
Nice.
So Werewolf of Fever Swamp was enough for me to go, ooh, there's a werewolf. And then Fever Swamp, he could have come up with a better, you know, like that was even back then. I was like, that title's a little, Monster Blood is another example of, I see what you were trying to do. Go eat worms. I'm sure you're just trying to appeal to boys. But it was just like, some of these names were just dumb. but I still couldn't put them down just the same.
Yeah, well, one cool thing about not being able to read the books when I was younger was that in October 27 of 1995, something really cool happened. It got turned into a TV show.
And then you got to experience them for the first time, and they weren't, like, so as predictable for you because you hadn't read the books first, right?
Yeah, well, the books, now that I've read the books and I've watched the shows numerous times, they weren't the same. There were a bunch of different...
They weren't the same, but you kind of still knew what would happen.
In some instances, yeah. In other ones, no. The endings were different in a couple of them, or most of them, I should say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like, you know, reading a whole different story or watching a whole different story, but... It was a good show. I really enjoyed it when I was younger. My daughter is watching them all on Netflix because they're all on there.
So would you let her read those yet, or is she too young?
Oh, she has found my stash, and she's been slowly reading them. She's way into the Minecraft stuff, like every single kid is. So okay. She wants, like, you know, the Minecraft books. She wants to watch the Minecraft YouTube things.
Now, I'm confused by that. Is there like a Minecraft... I'm trying to think of the way to put it. It's an open world game. What is there to watch?
People playing the game.
Is that what she's watching? She's watching people play the game?
People playing the game. They also... It's kind of like... it's kind of like you're watching a show. the person playing the game has, like, you know, it's like two of them. They can, they're like telling a story and they're like acting it out on the game.
Oh, okay, okay. That I see sort people of stuff. Do that with like The Sims, and I see people do that even in a different way with like World of Warcraft. I think I see what you mean.
Yeah, she likes to watch that type of stuff. You know, she watches the people play. They're, you know, commentating. Oh, I guess that's not even a word.
Commenting. They commentate their gameplay. Like,
yeah.
I've seen a few of those. I actually am a super big fan of the franchise myself, and I own it for every platform that I have.
Yeah.
So I actually recently, within the last year, bought the Elgato, and I actually have posted some of my own videos if she likes to check those out.
Yeah, I will let her know if you send me links. She listens to all of the Thursday theme songs, and she says that you are her favorite, even though I'm her father.
That seems a little weird. You're her daddy. You're supposed to be her favorite forever.
She's getting older now. I'm not really her number one. Really doesn't feel like it anymore. It'll go back. Yeah,
well,
I'm sure it will.
She's a little bit older. Then you're going to be a number one again. But either way, hello there. I like Minecraft.
Yeah, well, even though she's not my number one, my son Callan, he adores me. So I am his number one now. So
there you go.
It just keeps going down the line. And then Kalexi will come next. And
I have my character in the game dressed up as a Horstachio from Viva Pinata.
Nice.
I have another one. I think I have a crocodile just because it's green or something, because I love green. I have built several random little things like, let's see. I've built several farm pens because I love the animals, and I love the fact that they don't despawn when you leave them if they have a pen small enough. And I'm anal retentive enough that I'll build a pen around a pen, so if the wolves get interested, they can't eat them through the fence.
Right.
I love mining, so I've got the mine cars. They'll drive me up and down through my mine, so I don't have to walk. But everywhere has stairs, and I've got, you know, And then I love it that you can hit the animals with the dye and then color them, because there's nothing more adorable to me than seeing a green sheep running around. Yes.
I couldn't be further away from that game.
I have a short attention span, even though I love the game. So the only way that I can do some of the more tedious tasks, like hollowing out certain areas to build, I will watch World War II documentaries.
Oh, wow.
So I watched three in a row about Hitler trying to develop like an almighty tank while I was hollowing out one of the mountains.
Jeez.
Yes, that wound up just being a land bridge. It wasn't even for something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I even followed some of those tutorial videos to make automatic harvesting devices for my food. So I have a wheat harvester. It's a very large water feature.
Wow. We couldn't be further apart from that. That game looks so disinteresting to me.
I have a fondness for picking up stuff and putting it in my pocket, and that's basically half of what you do in that game.
Wow.
So Goosebumps, huh?
Yeah, Goosebumps. I mentioned that when did it start? It started on October 27th of 1995, and it ran till November 16, 1998. The first episode was The Haunted Mask. It came out just in time for Halloween. It was an hour-long special, and I remember they played a lot of commercials before it came out. That's how I knew it was coming. I was so excited.
Oh, so they were like, Lyle.
Yeah.
Lyle.
Yeah.
We're going to be coming out soon.
Oh, what's coming out?
Goosebumps.
What? Oh, my goodness.
And then you were like, what?
Yeah. Exactly. And I figured out it was The Haunted Mask. It was Halloween based. I loved Halloween. It was probably the year I dressed up as Zorro. I was ready to go. And
oh, that seems really fitting because they had a mask and you had a mask.
Yeah, I watched all the commercials. I was ready to roll. Cool, I watched it, loved it, wanted to watch the next one. I think the next one was like the thing at the bottom of the basement or whatever it was called. I watched that one, watched them all. I loved it. And there was also a couple of other ones that they did hour-long specials for. There was one for A Night in Terror Tower that was an hour long, Welcome to Dead House, which was the first Goosebumps book I read. That was an hour long. In those hour long special ones,
and they didn't. Said the first one you read was
Welcome to Dead House.
No. The House of the Dummy or something.
No, Welcome to Dead House was the first one.
Oh, okay.
And for those, the theme song didn't really show up in the hour-long episodes. What they would do instead would R.L. Stine would come out and he'd, you know, say a couple of scary words.
Hello, I'm R.L. Stine. I write the Goosebumps books. In a few minutes, you're going to see one of my favorite stories come alive. The Haunted Mask is a frightening Halloween story about a girl named Carly Beth. The horror begins when Carly Beth puts on the evil haunted mask, and it ends when she discovers there is nothing more powerful than the love of her family and friends. What's so scary about that? You'll see. Viewers beware, you're in for a scare.
I remember that a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty fun, actually, being able to see the author, even though at the time I didn't know who this dude was.
Yeah.
But now that I watched it again, I'm all like, oh, it's R.L. Stine. Cool. I'm a Twitter follower. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching Goosebumps every Saturday morning. It was on the Fox Network, which was Channel 6 for me. It's not Channel 6 anymore. I don't know what it is now. I have DirecTV, so it's like Channel 11.
I had to wait for episode 18, something like that,
mm-hmm.
for my favorite, because my favorite's always going to be the one that I read first, which was Werewolf of Fever Swamp. But then I was happy, in a way, that it was popular enough that it was a two-part one. And I say in a way because, of course, there's nothing more traumatic than seeing the to be continued. Nobody understands that anymore.
Oh, yeah, no.
Kids don't get that one. They don't get to be continued. Kids don't get that. Even if it's a two-parter, they don't put it in there because I think they know that that was the cause of high blood pressure.
They don't even... The kids today won't even know what it would be like if you'd have to wait every week for a show, because now that Netflix does the binge-watching stuff, mm-hmm. shows, you, like Fuller House, you could watch the entire season all at once instead of having to wait. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you could watch it while living your life, because that's how I did it. I watched it while I was walking around the house.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it while I was, you know, cleaning the kitchen. I watched it while I was putting on my makeup to go to work. I mean, I was watching it like all, I didn't have to stop just because I had to go do things. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Like before, I'd be like, oh, I could kind of like, if I had to go into the other room, I would like run as fast as I can. I'd stick my head into the other room so I could at least hear what I was missing, because you couldn't pause live TV back then.
Nope. You had to be like me and record it on VHS, and you could and then you rewatch had to it wait whenever you want.
All those commercials.
Oh, I love the commercials.
I know some of them are good. I definitely had some that I had fondness for. Yeah. But then there were others where I was like, I've already seen this. I don't care about Pickles. The little bird is cute, but I think they're nasty. Yeah,
classic stork. Loved it.
I know. I mean, he's cute, and I like that crunch noise he made because it was so crunch.
That's the tastiest sounding pickle I've ever heard.
Pickle is, and I love the way he said hard.
Hoid.
Hoid, whatever. I love that part, but like the rest of it, no. I mean, I loved all those coffee ones where they sang the song. Anything that had a song in it.
Jingle.
Or a cute mascot I liked. But you know that for every one of those, there's like five where no one paid much effort into making the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
So those are the ones I have an issue with. But hey, I have a DVR, so I don't have to watch them if I don't like the commercial now.
I could just fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
that was worst thing for someone with short detention span. Mwah!
Goosebumps had a pretty cool theme. You heard it a little while ago.
I enjoy it still.
The theme song, it was composed by a man named Jack Lenz.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jack. It creeped me out then. It still kind of creeps me out now, but I don't get scared at as much as I used to. I don't get scared at all, really. I'm way beyond not being able to, you know, figure out real, not real. Monsters aren't real. So... not many things scare me, but at the time, The show scared me. Do you have any favorite episode?
Werewolf Fever Swamp.
That was your favorite one?
Well, like I said, I'm always going to find it as a special one for me because it was the first book that I read of his. So I was waiting for it. I feel like I liked that Camp Nightmare, I think that was the name of it.
Oh, yeah?
And the Scarecrow Walks at Midnight.
Oh, that one was kind of freaky. That Scarecrow would show up out of nowhere. Yeah, and then they'd have to, like, pack it full of straw again. It's been a long time since I saw it.
And then not even Living Dummy, but mostly just because I think dummies are just creepy.
Yeah, the ones that look real enough, they're kind of creepy. The funny-looking ones, like Peanut and Jalapeno on a Stick. It's a jalapeno on a stick.
I don't know what that's referring to, but that's cool.
Jeff Dunham.
I don't know who that is.
Whatever. Okay. Sorry. So, yeah, I had my favorite episode has to be a toss-up between Welcome to Camp Nightmare, which is one of yours, and Return of the Mummy. I remember watching both of those.
Dude, I failed. I forgot about that one.
I'm here in Egypt visiting my Uncle Ben and Cousin Sari. My Uncle Ben's an archaeologist. He's really cool. He knows all about ancient civilizations. My Cousin Sari thinks she knows a lot, but she's okay. We're on the site of a secret dig. My uncle has discovered a pyramid that is the tomb of an ancient Egyptian prince. The pyramid is like this dark underground maze full of secret passages and dead ends. It's pretty spooky, but I'm not afraid. I'm psyched that I get to be one of the first people inside.
The tomb of Prince Khoru, or at least we hope it is. If it
is. That one is good. I really enjoyed it. I was a big Egypt fan.
First favorite, always.
Yeah, the werewolf.
Werewolf of Fever Swamp. Like I said, still Fever Swamp, whatever.
Lock your door. Bolt your windows. The wolf is on the loose.
Something's got me. Help, help me.
Gross. Sucker.
The Werewolf of Fever Swamp from the pages of Goosebumps, R.L. Stine's best-selling books for kids, comes a brand new video you can watch again and again. The Werewolf of Fever Swamp.
Did you know that a lot of people have disappeared around here?
There are no wolves in the swamp.
On sale now from Fox Video.
Well, that's just great.
It's so fun and scary. You can howl with delight.
We could work on the titles. Whatever. The insides was good. That's all that matters. So I've got some fun facts, I guess.
Okay, go ahead.
The anthology series about kids and preteens finding themselves in eerie situations typically involving a supernatural element. That is the exact combination of ingredients to make something that I had to go, huh? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mine. Oh, yeah. I must have it. Like, any, you know, like, okay, kids and preteens, as long as they were somewhere around my age bracket and then everything else,
yeah,
I had to have it. So nice. That was like a, nope, that was April Magnet right then and there. Goosebumps originally aired on Fox Kids. Now, that's what I don't remember. Wasn't Fox Kids a separate channel from Fox where, like, they had the news and the sports?
No, it was the same channel. Fox Kids was kind of like a programming block, kind of like TGIF. Oh, okay. TGIF wasn't a network.
I must have gotten that mixed up with like something else.
Yeah, but no, it was same channel, Channel 6 for me.
Okay. Originally, this show made up of its own rating known as GB7.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as they said, it may be too spooky for children under the age of 7. This lasted until TV rating systems began in 1996, so like about a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it was officially given the title TV Y7 rating.
Okay,
because,
yeah.
Because they needed to change the letters entirely, but keep that number in there. I mean, that was a big deal. Yeah. Sorry, my fun facts were not that fun.
Oh, that's okay.
I think it was probably the part that threw me off was it wasn't like a consistent cast. Right. Unless it was an anthology. It was a part one or a part two. Mm-hmm. They were different kids, different situations, almost like they were a mini movie in a way.
Yeah.
Every episode.
Hmm. Yeah. Goosebumps was one of those shows that I was very excited for as a kid. I wanted to watch it all the time. I couldn't get enough of it. And then as I started getting older, I mean, I know I watched the entire first season. But when I got to the second season, I kind of stopped watching it. I guess you could say I grew out of it at some point because I didn't look forward to watching it anymore. I didn't want to watch it. But recently I saw them on Netflix and I was like, oh yeah, there, I guess I can see why I stopped watching it. It became very disinteresting for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because I love the books. I love being scared as a kid. Maybe I just got older. Who knows?
Yeah, I never found them scary, but I was way too old to be finding them scary at that point. It was more, I watched them out of nostalgia, but it was, when I would watch them, it was like, oh, I can watch this episode of The Simpsons I've seen 6 times, or, hey, look, that was a book I read. I'll check it out. And another one of those for kids now, I have to explain. The only way I would know what one was going to come out was there was this thing in the paper each week. I don't remember the name of it anymore. I don't think it was the TV Guide because that was the magazine or whatever. But it would have, you could pull it out as a separate piece and it would literally, like the programming guide.
The listings? It would
tell you, yes. And that was how I'd be like, oh, I'll check that one out. And that's how I would know which one I wanted to see.
Yeah, if you ever want to see that in action, go find the movie Dumb and Dumber. And when they're in the hotel, he's looking through it.
There you go. I like it.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Fun bits?
Did you know that the show had a couple of guest stars that you might know?
Really? Like who?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to start with somebody that you probably don't know, who is Ryan Gosling.
Do you know? I feel like I know the name, but I don't know why.
He was in the episode Say Cheese and Die. He's known for being in The Notebook, the movie Drive, and for being very studly. That's Ryan Gosling.
I like studly, but I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what that means, but I mean, I don't know any of those things.
Right. Okay, next we have Colin Mochrie. Do you know who that is?
Sounds familiar again, but can't place the name.
He was a regular on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh.
He was the bald guy.
And, yeah, no, I know who that is now. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was the bald guy. The episode that he was in was Bad Hair Day, which is very fitting since he is bald. Okay, another guest star, we have Batman himself, Adam West. He was in an episode.
I don't remember that, and I should, because I love Adam West.
He was in the episode Attack of the Mutant.
Huh, and maybe I just didn't catch that one.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember seeing that episode, but I don't remember seeing him, so I kind of have to go back and try to figure out where he was.
Hiding somewhere.
Or he might have been the villain, who knows.
Maybe.
Yeah. And the last one, you'll probably be surprised because you also do another podcast that is Star Wars related. And yes. This last person is Star Wars related. He was in the episode Night of the Living Dummy 3, parts 1 and 2. And it is Hayden Christensen himself, Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, okay.
He was in that episode.
Yeah, and you can check out my other show, The Padawan Cast. If you're trying to find shows that are clean and appropriate for youngsters, that is not one of them. Not one of them. Not. No. No. Very explicit. And yes, you can listen to episode 5, where I watch the episode 2. No. 2 is 2. Yeah, no, we did him in numerical order. So 2 to hear my experience and feelings of him.
You don't like him?
I'm thinking that was young Anakin, right?
No, that was grown Anakin.
Middle Anakin. Teen Anakin.
Yeah.
Teen Anakin. Final answer. No. 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 But I go into much more interesting detail, I think, at least.
Yeah.
In the episode 2 of the Padawan cast.
Yeah, go check that one out.
It's my second movie of Star Wars ever of all time. So, okay.
Cool, yeah. So that's all I got. That's pretty much it on Goosebumps.
Good book. Good books.
Yeah, good books. I like the show, even though I kind of like the other big anthology kid show that was around at the time, Are You Afraid of the Dark? I prefer that one more.
I actually preferred Are You Afraid of the Dark? I know I for sure watched those. Those I looked for.
Yeah, it's strange. That was more, it kind of felt that was more teen-like.
Yeah, it felt more grown up.
Yeah, and Goosebumps was more...
really little kid.
Tween kind of feel.
Yeah, but that didn't, it had a YA7. Didn't exist back then, to my knowledge. So.
No, it didn't.
No. I feel old doing this show sometimes.
We're not old.
I'm older than you.
Well, I guess you're old then.
Yeah, I walked into that one.
Yeah,
okay, well, join us next week to continue our spooktacular Halloween theme show month.
Yeah. I love Halloween. Can't wait.
I know. I love Halloween despite the fact that I'm butchering that Halloween voice. Ooh.
That's scary. Oh, wow. Don't do that cackle again.
That was actually my real laugh. I'm sorry. It's pretty not cool now. Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Yeah, if you want to email us, you can go ahead and send us an email at thursdaythemesong@gmail.com. Or if you want to find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thursdaythemesong. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, go on Podomatic, leave us reviews. Hopefully there are 5-star reviews. That would really help us out a lot.
Go ahead, quit your day job, go into advertising for us, make up shirts, billboard your town, tell all your friends, give us as gifts.
Yeah, I am down for all of those.
And I'm April, or Zombie Farmer.
I'm Lyle. I'll see you guys next time.
Good night.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, Goosebumps. Oh man, I still love Goosebumps. So yeah, that was Thursday theme song with me and my friend April, which we no longer do that show. So if you enjoyed it, there's only about a handful of them that I can share. And I shared most of them, or I shared some of them actually already for the pre-Halloween shows. But next year, you'll probably get some more, or I might throw them up as Patreon bonuses and all that stuff. So yeah, I guess that's it for me for today. And I think I'm going to be back tomorrow because tomorrow's going to be the 30th and I'm going to do the last pre-Halloween show and it's going to get everything started because the day after the Halloween podcast starts. So it's going to be a ton of fun and I can't wait. So yeah, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. Go. The Halloween podcast. We're going to be there. Leave us a review. 5-star review, hopefully. And it'll really help us out. You could also go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/amazingadvertising. And one thing about the Patreon page that I want to share with you guys, because the Halloween podcast is coming, a lot of these shows were recorded at a sequence. So the show that comes out the first might have been, you know, show number 8, or the one that comes out on October 5th was actually recorded, I don't know, back in June or something. So a lot of the stuff I wasn't sure of a lot of the stuff, like the Facebook page or the Patreon page. I wasn't sure about all that stuff, but I'll give you all the information right now, the real information. The email is thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. The Facebook is facebook.com/thehalloweenpodcast. Twitter is something that I started probably about less than a month ago, and I don't know, a lot of these shows were recorded way before then. So the Twitter is @thehalloweenpod. So follow me on all those things. I'm going to be posting a lot of good stuff, a lot of Halloween stuff. It's going to be great. I've already started. and people have been responding, which is really cool. So, what I'll say on the Patreon is patreon.com/amazingadvertising. Amazing Advertising is my other show, so I still do that one. Just took a little bit of a break because I'm trying to get all of this Halloween content started and pretty much recorded, so I can just sit back during October and probably listening to all of these shows in my car, because I don't like the sound of my own voice, but it really helps me with not saying or figuring out where I mess up in editing, and then just, you know, my own reference. So go ahead and interact with me on all of those platforms. Go ahead and review the Halloween podcast, subscribe. It's going to be a good time. So that's it for me, and I will see you guys again tomorrow. Have a good night.